It is another Saturday morning in CCO land when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, Denny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How could you be anything else? It's a beautiful, I would call this morning, fresh, 48 degrees. I love it.
Well, I'm glad I don't have any tomatoes in the yard or anything like that to cover for these frost warnings that you heard about already at the beginning of September. My green thumb is, I don't know what color, opposite of green thumb is, so I don't try to grow at the beginning of September. My green thumb is, I don't know what color, opposite of green thumb is, so I don't try to grow anything. I just go to the grocery store or the farmer's market.
Yeah, I was reading some line because I've tried tomatoes every year and I did a little bit this year, but it's just, you get out there and you plant them and you wait 3-4 months to save $2.69, something like that.
I'm with you, and they're so much better, especially when you head down to the farmer's market. Those guys know how to do it, so there's certain things you should just leave to the professionals.
Well, I know every time I've talked with your dad over the years and we bring up food. And getting up early as I do, I'm ready for dinner, you know, at this time. So you're making me hungry as well. What are we going to be talking about today, Ted?
Well, I thought today we'd talk about kind of the America's Burgundy Valley, so to speak, the Willamette Valley. It's such a wonderful wine-growing region. It's truly, truly unique. It's almost designed to grow Pinot Noir and also Pinot Gris. You have the coastal, Oregon coastal mountains on the west side flanking the ocean. You have the Cascades over to the east, and then you have a mountain range at the bottom. And it really develops a wonderful climate for growing grapes. It's not only a Mediterranean, very temperate climate, but it's also affected by the ocean with those cool nights. And the interesting thing about the Willamette Valley, it has a rich, rich history just in agriculture as a general. I mean, believe it or not, it was the terminus of the Oregon Trail where everybody, you know, traveled out there. They heard about how nice it is, how easy it is to grow things. It's a wonderful climate for that, but it's very well suited to grow both Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and also a very interesting grape varietal, Pinot Gris. Now, Pinot Gris is the exact same grape varietal as Pinot Grigio. It's just a little bit, depending on where it comes from, they either call it Grigio in Italian, in Italy, or Pinot Gris, which is, you know, the French derivation of it. Now, Pinot Gris is a very interesting grape varietal because it was a mutation that happened in the vineyards of Burgundy about 500 years ago. And eventually, the Cistercian monks took those grape varietals and then planted them in Switzerland and then moved their way down into Italy. But now, the folks out in Oregon have planted Pinot Gris, and it's such a unique grape varietal. You know, it produces such wonderful wines that are light, they're crisp, they're refreshing, but, you know, they have some weight to them and a little bit of character. You know, the Italian Pinot Grigios can often be very light, very easy, approachable drinking wines, but the ones that you find that come out of Oregon have a little bit more character, a little bit more body, and definitely that crisp acidity to finish it off with. And the brilliant thing about that, it marries so well, now I'll start to get you hungry, Daddy, so well with shellfish and seafood. Especially nowadays, so many people love like a pan-Asian type of seafood that has a little bit of sweet with fruit, but then a little bit of spice into it as well. And those Pinot Gris do so well with that. It's just a match made in heaven as far as that crisp acidity, grabbing onto a shrimp off the grill with a little bit of chutney or something like that blended into it. Just a wonderful match made in heaven. One of my favorites is called Greetings Pinot Gris. There's also another one, Second Growth Pinot Gris. Wonderful wine, so affordable. But again, you have a little bit of melon to it on the upfront, but then crisp acidity. You know, it's just wonderful to go at it. So, you know, on a cool day like today, if you're having a little seafood, those Pinot Gris are wonderful. And not to mention, the Pinot Noirs that come out of the Willamette Valley are on par with the great Burgundies of the world, even to the point where you're seeing Burgundian houses like the Druins, open up shop inside the Willamette Valley and start growing their own Pinot Noirs to show the American expression of Pinot Noir. And they're just rich, full wines. You know, that's a particular, the Pinot Noir from Oregon goes so well with salmon. I mean, we've talked about it in the past as well, but that plank salmon with a great Oregon Pinot Noir, just wonderful, delicious, a match made in heaven. But the Willamette is just a great thing, and they'll tell you when you're there, they'll say it's Willamette. Damn it. Now, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to swear on the radio, but that's what they say up and down the valley, so everybody gets the pronunciation right. It's not Willamette, it's Willamette.
Yeah, I've been corrected many years ago about that, but I'm glad you brought this up because I recall, and this was several years ago, I thought, I'm going to try a Pinot Noir, and went into Haskell's, and I did indeed find one from Willamette Valley in Oregon, and I want to tell you something. It knocked my socks off. I thought, wow, this was tremendous, and you've gone to this morning, explaining basically, why the territory there, that it's a great growing region. But I'm going to tell you, there was, well, I'm telling you, you know this, but what a difference from the earlier Pinots that I tasted to that was just tremendous. Great stuff.
Well, it's a testament to that climate, because during the day, it can warm up into the, even up into the 90s, which allows those grapes to grow. But then at night, in the different valleys and the different passes and the mountain crags, you see, fog will roll in from the Pacific Ocean. And it gives that Pinot Noir, which is a thinner skin grape varietal as it is compared to a Cabernet or a Syrah, that kind of cool evening, getting down to even to the 40s at night, which just is perfect for Pinot Noir. And, the great thing about that, it's a great American-style Pinot Noir because it's a little bit more fruit-forward than its Burgundian counterparts from across the ocean. There's a little bit more robust juice to it, kind of raspberry flavor to it, even stone cherry, it's a little bit more body to it, but still great elegance, and it marries so well. Yes, you can do it with a steak, but one of my favorites is salmon and Pinot Noir. Salmon is the other red meat, so to speak, but the Pinot Noir just is a match made in heaven, and things are good. So go out and find some salmon and a great Pinot Noir from Willamette Valley this weekend.
Now, is that a tough grape to grow given the region?
Well, the thing about Pinot Noir, it's a very finicky grape because, they say it's the most noble of the noble red varietals. There's Cabernet, Merlot, Syrah, and Pinot Noir. There's a couple others that they'll throw in there. But they say it's the most noble of those grapes because it doesn't blend well with any other grape varietal. Like if your Cab is too austere, you can blend in some Merlot to soften it out. If your Merlot's too soft, you can blend in Cab to make it a little bit fuller. Syrah, they blend all kinds of different grape varietals, whether it's Grenache, a little Mauvais, or in some cases even white wine like a Viognier in there. But Pinot Noir stands by itself, so it can be very, very finicky, and you have to keep your fingers crossed of what God gives you in the harvest that year, and really up to the winemakers. And a winemaker that can make a great Pinot Noir is truly gifted because you're out there. You can't blend in something else to make it a little bit better. It's what, it's what is crushed and what you got and what you can do in the wine room.
I was thinking, Ted, about that movie, what was it called? Sideways? Sideways, I think.
Well, that yes, you are correct. It is Sideways, and I forget the director's name, but he actually that year was voted the most influential person in the wine industry that year because that simple movie and that character Niles freaking out that he doesn't want to drink Merlot and he only drinks Pinot Noir literally changed the tide of consumption in the United States almost overnight. People love Merlot. They love drinking it, and Merlot has not recovered ever since. Everybody switched over to Pinot Noir, and as they should. It's one of my favorite grape varietals, but everybody right around then, was switched over to the Pinot Noir, and Pinot Noir sales just skyrocketed right after that movie. And thanks, Niles, and that director for doing that, because it's one of those phenomenons. I try to influence the wine market so much, and then some director making some movie all of a sudden, sends a tidal wave through the industry.
I've been meaning to ask you about that to see if it did. I had no idea it had that much of an influence, but I've read following that Paul Giamatti, the actor, he didn't know anything about Pinot Noir. He was not you know, into wine whatsoever. So this was a whole, I mean, he was quite a good actor, but so it made that much of a difference. What do you think about Merlot? Well, that maybe that's for another day, but I just had to ask you about Sideways. Funny movie for adults only, by the way, I might.
And that's true. And we can talk about Merlot a little later on, but the interesting thing about that, Merlot sales have not recovered, and that movie came out, I believe it was about 96 or 97. Merlot sales have just been stumbling ever since. And the sad thing is, it's some of the greatest wine in the world, one of the most abundantly planted grapes, but people just forget about it and want to move on to other things.
I know we went off on a tangent there, but being that much of an influence, maybe it was a good departure. Well, we've got a couple of minutes to go, Ted. What else can we talk about?
Well, you know, we have all kinds of things to talk about as far as what's going on. And, you know, there's things to do this weekend, and one of the things to do is probably stop by a Haskell's to do some shopping. You know, it's a great day. As you said, it's nice, cool, and chilly, and what a great day to fire up the barbecue and get your recipes down and get your different ingredients and ready to go, and then show up to a Haskell's with that list of what you want to cook, because we can't make the meal for you, but we can definitely make it special for you. We can recommend the perfect wine, whether it is a Pinot Gris if you're going to do some shrimps or some scallops or things like that, or if you're doing a big piece of salmon, you know, a Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley would just be terrific for that. And we have a Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of those needs for you. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. There's a Haskell's in Highland Village, Haskell's down in Loman Plaza in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake in Stillwater. We also have a Haskell's down in Faribault if you're headed down south. And don't forget to stop by our Haskell's Super Cellar, or if you're out on the lake boating around and need a good Pinot Gris for the boat, stop into Haskell's Excelsior. And if you can't buy any of those, we're always open 24/7 at Haskell's.com.
I'm looking at a text, Ted, that a listener wants to know, does California grow Pinot Gris and Pinot Noir, anything decent?
Yes, they do. The area to look for there is the Russian River Valley. And it's kind of the same, comprised of the same component almost, where the fogs roll in. It's a cooler climate. The cool air comes in from the Pacific Ocean down that valley, and they grow wonderful, wonderful Pinot Noir in there. In Napa, it's a little too hot because it's better for Cabernet, but the Russian River Valley, if you see that on the label, you know you have something special.
One more before we head out of here. In fact, I'm thinking about making what I call Jack Farrell's ribs. The only thing I do different is not only the oven, but then I finish them off on the charcoal grill. Listener wants to give some advice on what Malbec to pick up tonight for them.
Well, one of my favorites is Flechas de los Andes. Flechas translates as the arrows of the Andes, and it's about $15, $16. I would call it definitely a tooth stainer. Every time I've had that particular one, your tongue turns a little bit purple because it's such an intense flavored wine. So Las Flechas de los Andes, wonderful Malbec that will go so well with those ribs.
Any wine tasting coming along soon from Haskell's?
Well, you know, Denny, what we do have coming up, which is quite fun, is our last wine and beer cruise on the St. Croix River, where we have vendors from all across the world. We have beer, we have liquor, we have wines to taste. It's a fun thing. You can stop by. It's we take off at noon, a three-hour cruise up and down the St. Croix. There's lunch to be served. It's a wonderful time. And, you know, even right now, you might even see a few fall colors on that. You could always hop on to Haskell's.com for more information about the cruise.
Oh, great time of year to do that, too. Ted, let's join forces here next week.
10-4. I look forward to it, Denny.
All right, thank you. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, let me remind you, coming along next hour, right after our CBS and local news break, we'll be talking Lawns and Gardens, our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi, a turf expert from the University of Minnesota. That's all next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Yeah. It is another Saturday morning in CCO land when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, Denny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How could you be anything else? It's a beautiful, I would call this morning, fresh, 48 degrees. I love it.
Well, I'm glad I don't have any tomatoes in the yard or anything like that to cover for these frost warnings that you heard about already at the beginning of September. My green thumb is, I don't know what color, opposite of green thumb is, so I don't try to grow at the beginning of September. My green thumb is, I don't know what color, opposite of green thumb is, so I don't try to grow anything. I just go to the grocery store or the farmer's market.
Yeah, I was reading some line, because I've tried tomatoes every year, and I did a little bit this year, but it's just, you get out there and you plant them and you wait 3-4 months to save $2.69, something like that.
I'm with you, and they're so much better, especially when you head down to the farmer's market. Those guys know how to do it, so there's certain things you should just leave to the professionals.
Well, I know every time I've talked with your dad over the years and we bring up food, and getting up early as I do, I'm ready for dinner, you know, at this time. So you're making me hungry as well. What are we going to be talking about today, Ted?
Well, I thought today we'd talk about kind of America's Burgundy Valley, so to speak, the Willamette Valley. It's such a wonderful wine-growing region. It's truly, truly unique. It's almost designed to grow Pinot Noir and also Pinot Gris. You have the coastal, Oregon coastal mountains on the west side flanking the ocean. You have the Cascades over to the east, and then you have a mountain range at the bottom. And it really develops a wonderful climate for growing grapes. It's not only a Mediterranean, very temperate climate, but it's also affected by the ocean with those cool nights. And the interesting thing about the Willamette Valley, it has a rich, rich history just in agriculture as a general. I mean, believe it or not, it was the terminus of the Oregon Trail, where everybody, you know, traveled out there. They heard about how nice it is, how easy it is to grow things. It's a wonderful climate for that, but it's very well suited to grow both Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and also a very interesting grape varietal, Pinot Gris. Now, Pinot Gris is the exact same grape varietal as Pinot Grigio. It's just a little bit, depending on where it comes from, they either call it Grigio in Italian, in Italy, or Pinot Gris, which is, you know, the French derivation of it. Now, Pinot Gris is a very interesting grape varietal because it was a mutation that happened in the vineyards of Burgundy about 500 years ago. And eventually, the Cistercian monks took those grape varietals and then planted them in Switzerland and then moved their way down into Italy. But now, the folks out in Oregon have planted Pinot Gris, and it's such a unique grape varietal. You know, it produces such wonderful wines that are light, they're crisp, they're refreshing, but, you know, they have some weight to them and a little bit of character. You know, the Italian Pinot Grigios can often be very light, very easy, approachable drinking wines, but the ones that you find that come out of Oregon have a little bit more character, a little bit more body, and definitely that crisp acidity to finish it off with. And the brilliant thing about that, it marries so well, now I'll start to get you hungry, Daddy, so well with shellfish and seafood. Especially nowadays, so many people love like a pan-Asian type of seafood that has a little bit of sweet with fruit, but then a little bit of spice into it as well. And those Pinot Gris do so well with that. It's just a match made in heaven as far as that crisp acidity, grabbing onto a, you know, a shrimp off the, you know, off the grill with a little bit of chutney or something like that blended into it. Just a wonderful match made in heaven. One of my favorites is called Greetings Pinot Gris. There's also another one, Second Growth Pinot Gris. Wonderful wine, so affordable. But again, you have a little bit of melon to it on the upfront, but then crisp acidity. You know, it's just wonderful to go at it. So, you know, on a cool day like today, if you're having a little seafood, those Pinot Gris are wonderful. And not to mention, the Pinot Noirs that come out of the Willamette Valley are on par with the great Burgundies of the world, even to the point where you're seeing Burgundian houses like the Druins, you know, open up shop inside the Willamette Valley and start growing their own Pinot Noirs to show the American expression of Pinot Noir. And they're just rich, full wines. You know, that's a particular, the Pinot Noir from Oregon, goes so well with salmon. I mean, we've talked about it in the past as well, but that plank salmon with a great Oregon Pinot Noir, just wonderful, delicious, a match made in heaven. But the Willamette is just a great thing, and they'll tell you when you're there, they'll say it's Willamette. Damn it. Now, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to swear on the radio, but that's what they say up and down the valley, so everybody gets the pronunciation right. It's not Willamette, it's Willamette.
Yeah, I've been corrected many years ago about that, but I'm glad you brought this up because I recall, and this was several years ago, I thought, I'm going to try a Pinot Noir, and went into Haskell's, and I did indeed find one from Willamette Valley in Oregon. And I want to tell you something. It knocked my socks off. I thought, wow, this was tremendous. And you've gone to this morning, explaining basically, why the territory there, that it's a great growing region. But I want to tell you, there was, well, I'm telling you, you know this, but what a difference from the earlier Pinots that I tasted to that was just tremendous. Great stuff.
Well, it's a testament to that climate, because during the day, it can warm up into the, even up into the 90s, which allows those grapes to grow. But then at night, in the different valleys and the different passes and the mountain crags, you see, fog will roll in from the Pacific Ocean. And it gives that Pinot Noir, which is a thinner skin grape varietal as it is compared to a Cabernet or a Syrah, that kind of cool evening, getting down even to the 40s at night, which just is perfect for Pinot Noir. And, the great thing about that, it's a great American-style Pinot Noir because it's a little bit more fruit-forward than its Burgundian counterparts from across the ocean. There's a little bit more robust juice to it, kind of raspberry flavor to it, even stone cherry. It's a little bit more body to it, but still great elegance, and it marries so well. Yes, you can do it with a steak, but one of my favorites is salmon and Pinot Noir. Salmon is the other red meat, so to speak. But the Pinot Noir just is a match made in heaven, and things are good. So go out and find some salmon and a great Pinot Noir from Willamette Valley this weekend.
Now, is that a tough grape to grow given the region?
Well, the thing about Pinot Noir, it's a very finicky grape because, they say it's the most noble of the noble red varietals. There's Cabernet, Merlot, Syrah, and Pinot Noir. There's a couple others that they'll throw in there. But they say it's the most noble of those grapes because it doesn't blend well with any other grape varietal. Like if your Cab is too austere, you can blend in some Merlot to soften it out. If your Merlot is too soft, you can blend in Cab to make it a little bit fuller. Syrah, they blend all kinds of different grape varietals, whether it's Grenache, a little Mauvais, or in some cases even white wine like a Viognier in there. But Pinot Noir stands by itself, so it can be very, very finicky, and you have to keep your fingers crossed at what God gives you in the harvest that year, and really up to the winemakers. And a winemaker that can make a great Pinot Noir is truly gifted because you're out there. You can't blend in something else to make it a little bit better. It's what, it's what is crushed and what you got and what you can do in the wine room.
I was thinking, Ted, about that movie, what was it called? Sideways? Sideways, I think.
Well, that yes, you are correct. It is Sideways, and I forget the director's name, but he actually that year was voted the most influential person in the wine industry that year because that simple movie and that character Niles freaking out that he doesn't want to drink Merlot and he only drinks Pinot Noir literally changed the tide of consumption in the United States almost overnight. People love Merlot. They love drinking it, and Merlot has not recovered ever since. Everybody switched over to Pinot Noir, and as they should. It's one of my favorite grape varietals, but everybody right around then, was switched over to the Pinot Noir, and Pinot Noir sales just skyrocketed right after that movie. And thanks, Niles and that director, for doing that, because it's one of those phenomenons. I try to influence the wine market so much, and then some director making some movie all of a sudden, sends a tidal wave through the industry.
I've been meaning to ask you about that to see if it did. I had no idea it had that much of an influence, but I've read following that Paul Giamatti, the actor, he didn't know anything about Pinot Noir. He was not you know, into wine whatsoever. So this was a whole, I mean, he was quite a good actor, but so it made that much of a difference. What do you think about Merlot? Well, that maybe that's for another day, but I just had to ask you about Sideways. Funny movie for adults only, by the way, I might.
And that's true. And we can talk about Merlot a little later on, but the interesting thing about that, Merlot sales have not recovered. And that movie came out, I believe it was about 96 or 97. Merlot sales have just been stumbling ever since. And the sad thing is, it's some of the greatest wine in the world, one of the most abundantly planted grapes, but people just forget about it and want to move on to other things.
I know we went off on a tangent there, but it I guess being that much of an influence, maybe it was a good departure. Well, we've got a couple of minutes to go, Ted. What else can we talk about?
Well, you know, we have all kinds of things to talk about as far as what's going on. And, you know, there's things to do this weekend, and one of the things to do is probably stop by a Haskell's to do some shopping. You know, it's a great day. As you said, it's nice, cool, and chilly, and what a great day to fire up the barbecue and get your recipes down and get your different ingredients and ready to go, and then show up to a Haskell's with that list of what you want to cook, because we can't make the meal for you, but we can definitely make it special for you. We can recommend the perfect wine, whether it is a Pinot Gris if you're going to do some shrimps or some scallops or things like that, or if you're doing a big piece of salmon, you know, a Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley would just be terrific for that. And we have a Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of those needs for you. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. There's a Haskell's in Highland Village, Haskell's down in Loman Plaza in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake in Stillwater. We also have a Haskell's down in Faribault if you're headed down south. And don't forget to stop by our Haskell's Super Cellar, or if you're out on the lake boating around and need a good Pinot Gris for the boat, stop into Haskell's Excelsior. And if you can't buy any of those, we're always open 24/7 at Haskell's.com.
I'm looking at a text, Ted, that a listener wants to know, does California grow Pinot Gris and Pinot Noir, anything decent?
Yes, they do. The area to look for there is the Russian River Valley. And it's kind of the same, it comprises the same component almost, where the fogs roll in. It's a cooler climate. The cool air comes in from the Pacific Ocean down that valley, and they grow wonderful, wonderful Pinot Noir in there. In Napa, it's a little too hot because it's better for Cabernet, but the Russian River Valley, if you see that on the label, you know you have something special.
One more before we head out of here. In fact, I'm thinking about making what I call Jack Farrell's ribs. The only thing I do different is not only the oven, but then I finish them off on the charcoal grill. Listener wants to give some advice on what Malbec to pick up tonight for them.
Well, one of my favorites is Flechas de los Andes. Flechas translates as the arrows of the Andes, and it's about $15-$16. I would call it definitely a tooth stainer. Every time I've had that particular one, your tongue turns a little bit purple because it's such an intense flavored wine. So Las Flechas de los Andes, wonderful Malbec that will go so well with those ribs.
Any wine tasting coming along soon from Haskell's?
Well, you know, Denny, what we do have coming up, which is quite fun, is our last wine and beer cruise on the St. Croix River, where we have vendors from all across the world. We have beer, we have liquor, we have wines to taste. It's a fun thing. You can stop by. It's we take off at noon, a three-hour cruise up and down the St. Croix. There's lunch to be served. It's a wonderful time. And, you know, even right now, you might even see a few fall colors on that. You could always hop on to Haskell's.com for more information about the cruise.
Oh, great time of year to do that, too. Ted, let's join forces here next week.
10-4. I look forward to it, Denny.
All right, thank you. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, let me remind you, coming along next hour, right after our CBS and local news break, we'll be talking Lawns and Gardens, our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi, a turf expert from the University of Minnesota. That's all next hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us.